The idea today is talk something that God put in my heart in the last 6 months. And I am going around that passage several times. And it's that I know in the show, David has some sheets. Where is David? Here. Has some notes. If you want one of the notes, you can ask him. I know that in my notes, there is an English mistake, but that expression coming from Jesus to the disciples, let's go to the other side, or let's go over to the other side in several translations, is an expression and command coming from Jesus to the disciples. And I was so amazed about that expression and the consequence that had in the disciples' life. We are living today the most or the biggest crisis in the world. Let me show you some news about what is happening. Youth in all the planet are so concerned about their own future. The planet is in crisis. The forest is burning. Is the climate change anxiety or stress? They can't see the future. United Nations, for example, is saying in 2030, the ocean will have exactly the same amount in weight, plastics and fish. They can't see a good and healthy future for them. That is something that is happening, and counselors are talking about that. Additionally, the news this week starts to talk about recession, economic recession coming again. And all the stocks around the world are trying to understand what's the consequence for our countries and poverty and everything that is happening around the world. Last week, also, Donald Trump started to test missiles that was over for 30 years, part of the agreement to finish the Cold War between Russia and the States. And he now just broke the treatment and the agreement, and now he's testing that missile, and all the news start to cover the reaction. China, Russia, North Korea saying, "What are you doing?" And he doesn't care. And that is our crisis. We have no news around the world, new disease, and migrants crossing the Mediterranean Sea of different parts of the world dying, suffering, in panic. New disease around the world appears, syphilis. Now it's resistant to penicillin, and you have people taking the disease in different ways. This week also appeared new, it's a fungus, Candida aurea. It's a fungus that always was on our skin. For some reason now, the fungus is going inside our bodies, and 60% of the people with infection is dying. No solution. That is happening around the world. And that's the news that we are reading every single day. When you are opening your Facebook account, your Instagram account, and your news, and say, "Oh, I want to relax," and just go, that news are appearing. The complete planet, the complete reality is in crisis. Now I have a question for you. What you are afraid, what are your personal fears today? Because we have outside everything in troubles, but we have also our own problems, struggles, conflicts, family conflicts, things that are happening out of control. I want to control that. I want to see the final solution for that. And things are happening. Disease in my body, or problems with my dear friends or family happening around. The account in the bank is not enough money. Sometimes I need, or sometimes I want dessert. I went looking for. What are your personal fears and what is happening with your life today? Your mind is spending time thinking about what? What you are feeling today that is bigger than you. Now, we have that question, and we can see a story happening around in Bible in another part of the world. I am in awe every time that I'm opening my Bible. I am now spending time, and I'm running almost there to read my Bible in 90 days. Probably I will finish in 100. Some days it's not going how I am planned. But the Bible is providing answers for our questions and our fears all the time. And everything in the Bible, you have thousands of things, stories, that happen in 3,000 years. And 2,000 years ago was the last book written. But it's relevant for our lives today as the same way that was when people start to write. Bible is my reference, and it's funny because every time that I am going, I was sharing that this week with some people, saying every time I am reading Bible, I am finding new things. I read probably more than 100 times Psalms 119, the longest chapter in Bible. It's just talking about Bible, about the scriptures. And I was driving, listening to the Bible, saying, wait, hold on, what is that? It's new. In Bible, we can start a relationship with God. Christianity without Bible is not real Christianity. If someone say to you, I have a good relationship with God, is reading Bible every day? No. What God? Because the Bible is the word, the logos of God in book for us. And some reality for us. I would invite Alicia. Sorry, the pronunciation is Alia. Yes. To read now the Bible, the story that is the center of our story.
Mark 4, verse 35 to 41. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." This is the word of the Lord.
What is this story talking about? It's in a specific moment, and a specific place, and a specific reason. Jesus was in talking about a target. The night was there, the resting time for everyone, long journey working in the on the beach. It's a good place to work, but was a long day. Jesus was teaching and talking and everything around, and the resting time, the night, arrived. And Jesus said, "Let us go over to the other side." He was talking about a specific place, the other side, in the lake, to reach a specific person. You can read about that specific person in the chapter 5. Was a person with a big deal, a big problem. And he was talking about a specific need that that person had. And Jesus started the journey to reach that person that night, saying to the disciples, "Let's go to the other side. That was the target. And everyone was so excited to that, especially the disciples, to that option, go to the sea. Why Jesus was looking for that specific situation and leading the disciple for that specific way? We can learn Bible always is a good source to understand Bible. And Jesus told several times that he was always following the Father's direction. We can read in John chapter 8, for example, 29, it is less. Always Jesus was, that is one of the expressions that he used to say, I am just listening to the Father and obeying him all the time. Nothing that I'm doing is just for myself. I am obeying Father's direction. I am just doing everything that the Father asked me to do. And when Jesus said, let's go to the other side, was exactly the Father's will. The Father's will. And Jesus was doing exactly the Father asked him to do. That's an important thing, an important idea to understand Jesus' reaction in this story. Now, the disciples were so excited. That happened in Capernaum. We have a map to see. It's good. You can see. It's the orange arrow you can see there. Jesus was in around Capernaum, and the journey was through the orange narrow that you can see that. That sea or lake, the Galilee Lake, is unique in the world. It's 200 meters under the sea level, and you have a different environment around that is creating an amazing environment for storms, for fishing, and for everything that you can have a prosperous economy, even today, around the lake. And when Jesus told the disciples, go to another side using the boat, the disciples were so excited. You can read, they took Jesus just as he was and put inside the boat. Why? Seven of them was fishermen. That was the background. The sea was the environment that they always lived. It was something so familiar for them, and they enjoyed to spend time in the sea. When we have some reference that they were so happy or in rush to put Jesus inside the boat. Probably, that is my thinking, my imagination, some of them thought, ha, now the carpenter will learn something new. Let's put our teacher in our environment, and we will lead him in that situation. That was probably because they were so excited, just took Jesus and put inside the boat, exactly the way they were. And Jesus never said nothing. He was so tired, probably, long day working. And they start the long journey. It was around 15 kilometers on the sea. Something happened probably without any previous sign. The big storm started. I was reading about the storms in the Lake of Galilee. It's like the Caribbean storms just happened. In one instant, the wind started to blow, and the sea started to become so active, and the storm is happening. It's like the hurricane happening exactly there. And the Bible says a furious squall came up. Another translation is using a great storm or a big, dangerous storm. The expression that Mark is using here is comparable with the storm that Jonas lived in his journey. And Mark here is not concerned about to provide exactly details in time and place about the storm, but is concerned about the size of the storm. was a big storm. Look at that expression, and they were in great danger. When that happened in this Galilee scene, especially in that time, the probability to survive that kind of storm was almost zero. And they know that. And they knew that. The Bible described is providing details about what happened. The waves broke over the boat. And imagine that the water, when you have 1 ton of water, is 1 meter for 1 meter for 1 meter. That is the weight. When you are in the sea and you start to receive the water hitting you all the time, your body starts to become so tired. Imagine now in the situation, inside the boat, the wind going in every direction, moving the boat in every direction, the waves hitting them, and probably was in chaos. They were expert in that situation. They knew the consequence of being in that storm. And every word that starts to describe the storm is providing us the great danger. They was in the situation that the unique and the logic consequence was death. The storm started suddenly, and they never were prepared for that. And they were in panic. We can read the three Gospels, and everyone is providing expression about panic. But one guy in that boat was in absolutely an amazing peace. Look at the expression that Mark is giving for Jesus. In the middle of the grand storm happening, the waves, the movement, Jesus was sleeping. How that is possible? Some people said was so tired, and I agree. He was 100% human, 100% God. Perfect human and God. He was tired. But even tired, when someone is, you know, under the water, why he never was awake or concerned? And we can see a big contrast in that situation. The peace of Jesus, the peace of the Lord sleeping in the boat, and the disciples in panic fighting for their own life. Two directions, the same situation, but two reactions. The Bible said that Jesus was sleeping, and one theologist, Strauss, is talking about that Jesus was in absolute peace because he knows exactly who told him, go to the other side, to the other side. He was under the Father's direction. And his knowledge about the Father, his God, his Father, was perfect. And he was in complete peace and calm and quiet about the storm. Psalm, for example, chapter 3, verse 5, said, in peace I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. The same psalm said, chapter 4, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Or another, that is Proverbs, sorry. And psalm say, I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. And we can read the complete psalm. It's full of that kind of promise. And Jesus was exactly in that kind of promise dwelling. And for that reason, he was sleeping. Someone can say, oh, you know, Jesus was perfect. I'm not. And I agree. Sometimes I am holding on to something in my life so afraid, or crying, or shaking, or so concerned my stomach starts to become a mess and inside the storm, and say, what that is happening again? Or what that is happening with me? Why? And we are looking for that kind of security and comfort. And here, in the boat, we have the contrast between the perception of disciples, the big storm, the dangerous, the death, the real damage, the losing, and the peace, unique peace of Jesus, trusting in the Father, just sleeping. And here, the disciples in panic. Now, the climax of the story is coming when the disciples decide to walk Jesus. And I can imagine that scene. You can read in the gospel, some of them say they call teacher, Lord, master. They were 12. And I can't imagine they saying, it's time to wake up the teacher. Okay, allow me go and wake up them. Probably that never happened. Say, teacher, Lord, I'm so sorry. I know that you are so tired, but we are wondering if you are realizing what is happening here. Probably that never happened. In our expressions, probably is, what is wrong with you? Sleeping in that moment? What is your problem? Are you blind? And a lot of expressions. They were in dangerous. And that kind of reaction is natural. I don't know it's normal, but it's natural, especially in us, especially in me. But for some reason, we can read in different gospels, different callings, teacher, Lord, master, and they start to rebuke Jesus. You are a carpenter. Probably you never realize what is happening. We are dying. We are sinking. He's gone. And you put us here. Probably that kind of reaction happened. Bible never provides details about the heart. But they was in full and complete doubt. They was in trouble to see the salvation in that moment. And they was absolutely uncomfortable with the God quiet at that moment. And they never realized what was happening. But for some reason, they called Jesus. And everyone looked at Jesus. And they say, Jesus is there. In the complete, until that moment, they saw Jesus with power on the demons, the natural or supernatural world, the spiritual world. They saw Jesus putting demons under control, saying, shh, get out. And everyone was in awe. They saw Jesus healing people or bodies. They saw Jesus providing food from nothing, from five or bread and three fish. I never remember what's the correct amount. But a few of them, 5,000 people, just men, without the women's and women and children ate. They saw Jesus controlling that kind of situation, but the sea, the storm, and the Galilee, the Sea of Galilee, was beyond imagination. And they were afraid. What happened when Jesus woke up? I love the expression saying, he got up. You can read the complete book of Psalms. The writers is David, Asaph, and another people responsible for the worship always ask God to God, get up, stand up, take the control. God, now stand up and lead the people. And what's exactly the expression that now Mark provide for us? Jesus got up. It's more than we woke up. It's God up in authority. And he rebuked the winds, saying, quiet, be still. He never prayed. He just commanded. And also he said to the waves, the sea, stop, be quiet, enough. And immediately the peace happened. Was immediately. In that boat, the disciples realized immediately that who was there was bigger than a carpenter, bigger than the master, or bigger than the teacher. Who was in that boat was the same exactly creator, commanding his nature. In that boat, probably they start to remember everything in the Old Testament. Was the same God that put limits for the seas in the creation. And the same God that told Israel, go. Where? In the sea direction. And the sea opened. And the wind dried the floor. Was the same God that when the people was going to the resting land, told them, put your feet in the Jordan River. And immediately the Jordan was divided, stopped the waters up, and they crossed through the dry place. And also they removed 12 stones to put the other side for reference and remember about that miracle forever. And that boat was exactly the God that Psalm is talking about. I will show you now the Psalms 107. We can project that, Larry. Another one. Thank you. Look that Psalms talking about. Psalm went out, sorry for my pronunciation, but you can follow the reading with me. Psalm went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the work of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the deeps. That's exactly the storm movement in the waves. And they perilled their courage melted away. Now the strong men, the confident men that put Jesus so quickly inside the boat was without any solution. The experts just ran away. They read it, and staggered like drunkards. They were at their wits' end. Then they cry out to the Lord, and they troubled, and he brought them out in their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. They were glad when it grew calm and he guided them to their desired heaven. Several people with big knowledge connect that psalm with what happened exactly in Mark chapter 4 in that lake. The disciples and Jesus, and there is a strong connection here. And the sons provide them exactly knowledge to understand what or who is that person? And the disciples was in front of Jesus now doing exactly that. Exactly what happened in the Psalms. Probably no, the Bible described that the fear of the disciple was bigger than before the storm, because they realized the presence of the Lord in their life. They realized that Jesus was more than all their imaginations. And they realized that the Creator, the Savior of his souls, were there. Jesus asked them, "Why are you afraid?" And that's exactly the same question that we can ask for our souls today. Why are you afraid? What kind of evidence we have to say, "Look, my soul, look, my heart, or my mind, just be quiet and trust." Jesus, he controlled the sea that day and the wind. And he provided proof for them that he was the Lord, the Creator. But the next step that Jesus took, we can read in the Gospel several situations, but the biggest one, the unique story in the Bible, and everything is connected with that, is exactly that we will remember in a few minutes, the cross and the resurrection. And that is the proof to put all our storms and thunderstorms and fears and stress and everything under Jesus' feet. I shared with you a few weeks ago, the consultant called me and told me, "You need to prepare yourself to leave the country. Stop. No longer solutions." And I remember going and start to cry. Why? I trust in you. Why nothing is happening? And that story came one in different ways to my mind. Be quiet. And I took my Bible and say, "Okay, let me find here the knowledge of the contact of you talking with me and calm my, or order my storm, internal storm, to say, be quiet right now." And I start to read and read and read and read. The Bible showed in that story the amazing relationship between the disciples and Jesus, and the connection between faith and knowledge. But it's not the knowledge to know, the intellectual knowledge. It's the knowledge coming from the relationship that we can have with God. It's not enough just to listen today, hear what happened in that service. It's what happens when you are leaving this place and what you are doing in your week and your relationship with God. God can be an app in your cell phone, your Bible, that you never open. Can be an amazing, beauty book with golden sides in your shelf, in your house. But just that, without any mark or evidence that you are reading with desire, with deep need, looking for the God that saved us and called us in the middle of the storm. God is providing for us everything that we need, and even he is providing storms for us. Why? I don't have the answer. But the Father told Jesus, "Go to the other side." And Jesus told the disciples, "Oh, it's time to go to the other side." And that was exactly the situation that God Father prepared for them. For what? We don't know. But we know one consequence. Can you project the last slide? They wrote that. He himself has said, "I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you." So that we confidently say, "The Lord is my helper. And I will not be afraid. What will men do to me? That is the consequence you have in relationship with God. We are improved in troubles and struggles all the time. Why? I don't know. But something that I know is that it's an amazing opportunity to meet or to go deeper in our relationship with God. God is not looking for us amazing expressions. I bless you, Father, in heavens, because you are so good. That is good to say. But also, you are my Father. And cry in his presence when you are afraid. And say, that is happening with me. And be honest with him. God is looking for you in a relationship until the point you are able to say that, but you believe with all your being that. It's in the project now. Let's go to the other side. I love the music from Hillsong, Michael Smith. They have the same idea in different music, saying that God called us in the middle, the place when we can't do nothing. And it's oceans. We sing several times the music here. Why? I don't have the answer. If you have the answer, let me know, because I am so curious. But I am sure about that God is calling you. He will provide everything that you need right now. Start to read your Bible and to pray every single day. God is calling you in that direction. You don't have, your time is not enough to that. Stop to use social media, TVs. Talk less, read more, pray more. Look God to have a deep relationship with him. Let me pray. Thank you, Father, because we know that you are calling us in a deeper relationship with you. Sometimes the sea is so brave. The wind is so strong. And it's true. We don't have power on that. We are helpless. We are weak. But thank you, Lord, because in your word, in Bible, in different directions, you provide examples for us about what you made, what you did, how you protected your kids, your children, your people. Thank you, Lord, because we can't run away from that situation, but you will transform our life at the same way the disciples were transformed that day. Lord, I want to ask now to you to help everyone in that place. Help me. Help my brother and sister to understand what you are trying to do in our life. We are not alone. In the middle of the crisis that planet is living, we know that you never fail. And your victory is imminent and is coming soon. Lord, bless everyone today. And allow us to see you in the same way that disciples could see Jesus. And in awe, they ask, who is he? Even my struggles obeyed him. We pray in Jesus' name.